This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Guy we haven't really talked about since they signed him. Incredibly important position. Drew Dolman.
The Bears actually have a true center. He's smaller than I thought he'd be. Maybe it's because Tooney's big and Jonah Jackson's looks enormous out there. But that offensive line seems to be coming together. Ben Johnson doesn't want to get too far ahead of himself, but I think we're all seeing what we're seeing here. There's one spot open. It's on the left side. The rest of the spots are kind of solidified, especially in the middle there with Tooney, Dolman, and Jonah Jackson.
Those are the pleasant sounds of the Hogue and Johns podcast. They are our next guests as we go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. They are the Adams. It is Adam Hogue. It is Adam Johns. They are the Hogue and Johns podcast. And they are together, not physically next to each other, but they are on your Twitch screen, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And congratulations to Adam Johns going over to CHGO. The only element of John Greenberg's survey I voted for was the bonus question about being happy about you going. So I just want you to know I voted for you and you only. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I know John takes a lot of pride in that survey. He hasn't done it in a few years, I think. But thank you. I'm excited. Officially now under the same umbrella as Adam Hogue here, my partner. I feel like we've been working together forever, but now we're officially at the same place. It feels great.
How much fun do you guys have doing the content that you do? And now that you're kind of embarking on a different chapter of the same book, how much more fun do you think you're going to have?
Well, I think I get to annoy him a lot more now. Like all my text messages used to go to Kevin Fishbane at The Athletic. We're talking all hours, different story ideas, different complaints, different things that come to mind. Now he's going to get them times two because I was already doing that a little bit before, but yeah, you know, I'm kidding around here. We're good friends to begin with. We have fun doing this. We're both from Chicago. We know what it's like to grow up here. So I think that makes our show kind of special. But yeah, now he gets to get all my text messages and complaints that come at all hours of the day.
Yeah, I got one of those last night. I was all done with my long day of work. It was like 6 o'clock. Hey, I need you to read this column. So I'll get used to that. I think like when you put it in perspective, what we've built with the show, despite the fact that we've never actually worked together, the fact that now we're under the same umbrella and we'll be working closer together on a daily basis will only make all of it even bigger and better. So we're excited about that.
When is the first episode dropping, or has it already?
It drops Monday. So I know people are itching for it because this is definitely probably the longest hiatus we've ever had to take. Part of it was just normal vacation time that we take this time of year, but it takes a lot to move and migrate a show and a YouTube channel. And we got a lot of awesome people behind the scenes working on all that right now. So I appreciate everybody being patient. The good news is for everybody that watches and listens, you don't have to do anything. Once it's all sorted out, it's the same podcast feed. It's the same YouTube channel. And so we'll be back officially on Monday, recording Monday morning. We'll get it out to you probably lunchtime or so. And for the most part, it's just the same. It's the same show, just under, you know, new partnership with CHGO.
I know your opinions will evolve as we get more news about what's going on as training camp breaks and we figure out who's doing what. But just the reaction I want right now is about this Shamar Turner, according to Ian Rappaport, coming to terms as a second-round pick. And I'm very confident that as long as the Bears look at what everybody else is doing, they're going to have the other picks in the fold, the second-round picks, I'm saying, by the end of the weekend. And that should be good for everybody.
I think I look at this a couple of ways. It's good news. Well, for the second round picks, the players should stand their ground on a few things. And I kind of like this trend because there's not much bargaining that can be done left in this collective bargain agreement that the players have. So good for the second round picks for standing their ground and getting something new and maybe setting a trend going forward. For the Bears, they have 3 second round picks. So you want them all in the building on day one, especially your left tackle who's in a competition to start next to all those offensive linemen you heard kind of previewing our segment here. So it's good news, I think, for the players overall, the second round picks, and it's good news for the Bears, obviously, with the 3 second round picks.
Our segment with Adam Hoges and Adam Johns is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I'm sorry, Hoger. Didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, no, get those dental implants.
Teeth are good.
I wish my teeth were better than they are. Look, I did some digging on this yesterday, guys. I'm not surprised to see the Turner news come out. And my guess would be here that Ozzie Trapillo would follow shortly here too, because they were drafted so close to each other. There's a couple interesting wrinkles to this. The theory that seems to be out there in NFL circles is really like Tyler Shuck is the one to watch here, because he's a quarterback, because not only is he a quarterback, he's got a very good chance to actually be the Saints starter this year, because they're not a very good football team. And so if there's anybody that has an argument to get fully guaranteed money, at some point in the second round, there's going to be a cutoff spot. And maybe it's that spot. It may, you know, that's the theory out there. But when you look at where Ozzie and Turner were drafted, it was later in the second round. So you can kind of already assume that that cutoff point's going to happen before you get to those slots in the draft. And so that's why I'm not surprised to see guys on the back end of the second round. I think you'll start to see budge here a little bit. But the interesting part, obviously, is that Luther Burden was drafted right ahead of Tyler Shuck. So he's really the one to watch in all this, in my opinion. And so if there is a hiccup with any of these guys not showing up on time, it might be that one. But I'm still relatively optimistic that, you know, even a worst case scenario, this is not going to be something that I foresee, you know, lingering long into camp.
I do think, though, outside of Shuck Adams, that it's rare you get to say
the
that
multiple rare, Adams. Rare, I love it. I love
Adam
it.
Adam. It's rare you get to say that. No, but outside of Shuck, I think Ozzie Trapillo might have the best chance just because of the individual need that the Bears have here. You're talking about what could be your starting left tackle, at least to begin the season. They need him. Like, he could actually, based on that value alone, really be in a positive position for himself.
He strikes me, though, as a player who doesn't want to miss any minute, any second that he can be in Hallis Hall. Just hearing him talk in his news conferences, just doing some background research on him. He's the type of guy who understands the business side of this. Like, there's a reason why he's not signed, but he wants to get down to business as soon as he can. He knows he's in a competition. He knows he might have the lead on this. Who knows if Braxton Jones is going to be ready as training camp opens next week. I don't think he's going to be ready. He could be limited. So Ozzie Trapillo, he has a great opportunity in front of him to really secure or really take a couple steps ahead of Braxton Jones upon his return, solidify that second spot. So I get your point, but Ozzie Trapillo strikes me as a player who's he could be already in town just waiting to get to Hallis Hall when rookies report on Saturday.
Also, isn't it the case that Ozzie Trapillo, I mean, now that we know Alfred Collins didn't get the 100%, but I mean, he got it way more than last year. I mean, he's definitely not getting the 100%. It's just, it seems like towards the back half of the draft that those guys are going to get increases from year over year from their same spot last year, but it's not going to be nearly as high as what we're seeing at the top half of the second round.
Right, and that's where, you know, what I was saying earlier, there's just where that cutoff point comes, and it's not really a black and white line either. Like, there's going to be some gray area. This one gets this percentage of the guarantees, but it'll be gradual. Again, that we go through this every year. I mean, since the CBA, what now, 14 years ago, I think it is, when all this stuff started getting slotted in the draft, and, you know, those number one overall picks stopped getting this crazy amount they ever did before ever playing a snap in the NFL. This stuff, they're haggling over such minor details. Again, last year, Caleb Williams, it came right down to like the day before camp or whatever, and then it was all fine. And I think that that's ultimately how this goes too.
I just want to add, like, there's some organizations, like you mentioned the Saints, that are like historically just stubborn and they won't budge on certain things. I don't think Ryan Poles, at least his operation, I haven't seen that. They're willing to find middle ground, whereas some of these other teams across the league, they just won't move on things just because that's how they've done business for years, and they're not going to set any trends, not only amongst other teams league-wide, but, you know, with themselves going forward.
We're talking to Adam Hoge and Adam Johns at CHGO, the Hoge and Johns podcast here in Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And since we have you on, we have not talked to you as a show since Ryan Poles' contract extension. I know you guys sat down with him also at the owners' meetings. I thought that that was a really good episode of the pod. What's your impression of just that deal getting done and what it means for the team?
I've said this a few times, but it's great to see the Bears, well, kind of acting like a serious football operation, like a serious football organization. And I don't mean this to be like funny, but we've seen it so many times where the most important people in their organization, I'm talking the quarterback, the head coach, and the GM, they're just not aligned. Forget philosophically, like Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson says they are, but contractually. And that leads to friction. It leads to extra storylines. It leads to power struggles. That's not going to exist right now. Maybe there's some disagreements. That's what football is. That's what, you know, building a team is all about. But I think it's a great sign that the Bears are moving ahead with them together. There's no extra intrigue. There's no extra infighting that needs to happen, knowing that they're contractually aligned, not just philosophically.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is they still haven't done this in the correct order. The orders here still goes GM, team president, quarterback, head coach. That's how those four have come into the organization. So they still, but at least they're not completely backwards like they used to be. And the thing is they're getting this lined up, because so you can have, you know, really, we make fun of that, but very few organizations actually do hire everybody in the right order. And so they at least seem to be philosophically, and now we know they're contractually aligned, and the only one who's technically not on that alignment is Caleb, because he's off a year just because of, you know, you can't control that. That's just the way the rookie deals go. But I do get the sense here that, you know, if you want to have a conversation about whether or not Ryan Poles deserves the extension, I can hear you out on that. But I do think the more important thing here is to avoid the situations the team has been in the past where they're just, okay, now we need a new GM. Oh, that guy doesn't like this quarterback. So now we need a quarterback. And it's just, you got to get everything aligned so they're all seeing the same thing.
Rookie set to report on Saturday, talking to Adam Johns, Adam Hoge, about that from the Hoge and Johns podcast. Guys, I want to know your thoughts on Colston Loveland and where he is, given that he has not been on the field doing things because of that shoulder. And he says his shoulder is good to go, but it seems like a very TBD type situation. How much do they need him to be ready sooner rather than later?
Where is he? I think last we saw he was in a water park swimming, catching.
Already doing
community service, yes.
Yeah, good. I think that's the first time I saw interviews conducted in an indoor water park with like a professional athlete. I can't think of another one, at least in this town. So he's setting trends. That's what he's doing. He's catching footballs at the wilderness. I don't even know where he was, but good for him for getting out there. I think the best sign of Colston Loveland in terms of being ready was towards the end of the offseason program, where you saw him go off to the opposite fields, the other fields that Hal saw, apart from his team, and work with the trainers. Like going through a pretty thorough workout, just in terms of ramping him up, getting him ready for his eventual return in training camp. So to me, I see that as a positive step. I see him being active in the community as a positive step. If he was hurt, I don't know if he's doing such things. So I think he's going to be out there next week. I think he's going to be ready to go. I think the Bears hope he is. They're playing this safe, but until we actually see him catching passes from Caleb Williams, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I just want to see him ready to go for that first padded practice. You know, and Johns has used the phrase ramping up, which is, you know, something Matt Eberflus love to say. And I think these are the types of little things we're going to learn about Ben Johnson here, though, coming up here too, because, you know, different coaches have different thoughts on how much time guys need. Like, are they going to throw Colston Loveland in the fire right away? I don't know. What I do know is he is starting a little bit behind here. I mean, there's no question about it, because what we saw in the offseason program, you know, they were throwing a lot at these guys. There's a lot of shifts, a lot of motions, a lot of things you got to know. You got to be lined up in the right spot. Cole Kmet's getting yelled at by the head coach at one point, the same position. So these are all things that, like, you can do all the mental prep you want, but you got to, until you do it in practice, you are starting behind. And it's the same thing for Luther Burden, who missed all that time. Now with Loveland too, the other thing that when I brought up the pads, it's because, you know, that was a shoulder injury. So He's been able to do conditioning and all this stuff, but what is the blocking going to look like? And quite frankly, I thought he looked a little thin with the eye test, you know, just come the first time we got to see him out there on the field a little bit. So I do think he's got a little bit more bulking up to do, and I'm very curious to see when those pads go on, how he fares against some of these bigger defensive ends he's going to have to block.
We're talking to Adam Hogan, Adam Johns, the Hogan John podcast here on 670 The Score, talking Bears, which is a nice change of pace. Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you about, was Luther Burden, just because he's very much a question mark when it comes to a second round pick, of course, when it comes to his health. So how do you think he's going to be able to fit in here? Do you think we're going to see him on Saturday, or do you think there's a possibility that because of this second round draft pick issue that we're seeing in the league, do you think he might be one of those guys that maybe won't be there?
Oh, we'll see. I think he needs to be there. I think if there's one rookie who may have fell behind during the offseason program, it's probably him, and it's not his fault. He got hurt, but as I was just saying about Colson Loveland, by the end of the offseason program, Colson Loveland was doing some things in the field. Luther Burden was nowhere to be seen, and this could be a pretty complex offense for any rookie to learn. So to have him be behind not only DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and maybe even Tyler Scott right now in the depth chart, and have to learn that slot position, which we know is an important position in Ben Johnson's offense. Just look at what St. Brown did in Detroit. There's a lot on Luther Burden's table, so on his plate, I should say. So we'll see. I would expect him to be out there and ready. I would expect the safe approach to pay off for the Bears, but it's one of those wait-and-see things right now.
Yeah, I'm a big first impressions guy. I've talked a lot about that over the years, you know, kind of feeling the vibes early on with rookies especially. And I think the vibes early on with Luther Burden have not been great. I mean, just the fact that we haven't been able to see him. This is a guy that, you know, and I think it's fair to talk about, can't, part of his scouting profile when the Bears drafted him, part of the reason why he fell to the second round is because there were questions about his work ethic at Missouri, about him being more of a weekday player, a guy who shows up to practice, guy who puts in all that work and doesn't just show up on Saturdays to play. Now, I know the Bears felt like the value where they drafted him was the talent there was good enough. I know Antoine Randall-El is excited to get after him and start coaching him. And it's not exactly apples to apples, but he had a challenge with Jameson Williams in Detroit. And so did Ben Johnson, obviously, with similar type of player, where you could even see it like during the Bears game when they were playing last year, where they kind of had to reel him in at times. But the good news is we always saw they were able to harness that talent at times and get him the football and get some explosive plays. So I do think he's going to be a little bit behind here, but if he gets healthy, even despite being behind, I feel like Ben Johnson, Antoine Randall-El, these coaches are going to find a way to get the ball in the most talented player's hands. So there's still a role for him. Even if his snap count's not super high early on in the season, they'll find a way to get him the football.
Thank you so much to Adam Hogan. Adam Johns, the Hogan Johns podcast, is now with CHGO. We appreciate you guys taking the time, and congratulations again, Adam Johns.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a great
day. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to everyone on Monday.
Indeed, we will. Your time off is over.
They're dropping that pod, and it's going to be back into the fold.
Training camp is here, almost. We have more to come here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. With training camp almost being here, the NFL is slowly. And very many pages of online content is slowly revealing its list of the top 100 players. You know that thing that Jalen Johnson should have been on, and then on Hard Knocks, he had a lot to say about it?
Mm-hmm.
Should have been on. So Where are the Bears? We discuss next here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. You're listening on the Odyssey and iHeart radio apps.
Layla Raheem, Marshall Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This there ain't no way. I don't know how you make Pro Bowl, All Pro, and then not a top 100 guy. I mean, I could have been 101, I guess, but Aaron Rodgers didn't even play in the season. He was voted. So, I mean, hey, everybody made mistakes. It ain't just the media that do it. The players, clearly, if they voted for this, they made some mistakes. But it is what it is. I mean, end of the day, I know the truth, and it's okay. I got some more for them.
That's Jalen Johnson. It is a favorite clip of the Rahimi and Harris show here on 670 The Score as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Jalen Johnson is talking about the NFL, not ESPN necessarily, not The Athletic, not the Chicago Tribune, not the Sun-Times, the NFL's top 100 players of 2025. Players do get to vote. Some players, not all players.
No, but like, it's interesting because they asked the players to just select your top 20 players. So think about it like that.
You're not getting the most accurately collected sample.
Right.
You're getting some sort of voting average or construct.
It'd be different if they were like, rank the top 100 players to each individual player. But also, what player would want to go through that painstaking exercise?
I mean, if they care about it, maybe they would.
But so you name 20, and a lot of this is reputation-based. And if you're on a bad team, let's be clear, the Bears have been very bad for several seasons now. You're just not going to be top of mind. You're not going to come to mind. And that's what I think they're suffering from. We're counting down from 100 to 1, right?
Yes.
They're to 73.
So let's go through the list. And here's how you know what you said is correct, Marshall, because I think it's basically tabulating how many votes these people get per what they think the top 20 is. The bottom line is it's an inaccurately collected sample. So that's why it's a little all over the place. Number 100 is Ladd McConkey, the Chargers wide receiver. 99, Seattle Seahawks defensive lineman Leonard Williams. Number 98, Aaron Jones and the Minnesota Vikings. That seems a little low.
Well,
Drake London is at 97, Atlanta Falcons wideout.
Should he be that high?
See, yeah, that's where you start asking some questions. Lavonte David, the Buccaneers linebacker, is number 96. Josh Sweat of the Arizona Cardinals linebacker is number 95. Sam Laporta, the Lions tight end, is number 94.
Okay. Now, we do have some NFC North bias, I think, when we're reading the list.
Here's mine. Creed Humphrey, the center for the Chiefs, is at 93. I think he is better than number 93 in the top 100.
So did the Chiefs.
So does a lot of the league. And yes, they're paying him like
that. Exactly. That was my point.
That's a big point to make. He didn't allow a quick pressure under 2.5 seconds across 653 pass blocking snaps in 2024.
Is that good?
Elite status, but he's number 93 on the list. Jesse Bates, the Falcons safety, is 92. Tua Tagovailoa, the Dolphins quarterback, is number 91. So that takes care of that portion of the list. We continue with 90 through 81, if the NFL page will ever load, because it's in multiple pages, because of course it is, clicks. Zach Allen for the Denver Broncos, the defensive lineman, is number 90. 89 is James Cook, the running back for the Bills. Is that a little low?
I don't know. I think sometimes here's the problem. Fantasy football is on people's minds, background. Even if you don't play fantasy football.
Correct.
You hear about skill, you look at it in the stats. You hear about skill position players so much more than you hear about A, defensive players, B, offensive linemen, that you really have to kind of, if I was doing a list like this, the first thing I would do is like, who's going to the Hall of Fame? And then just write down names. And like, of those guys, who's still playing at a Hall of Fame level? And that would be like the starting point for finding my top 20.
That makes a lot of sense. But you're right. I value guys who get yards and touchdowns more.
We all do.
I do. Andrew Van Ginkle, the outside linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings, is number 88. I feel like he should be in the top 100. Quinnen Williams of the Jets is number 87, the defensive tackle. Laremy Tunsil, offensive lineman for the Commanders, is number 86. Might that be low? Kyren Williams for the Rams, the running back, is number 85. Christian Gonzalez of the Patriots, cornerback, number 84. Cameron Hayward, the defensive tackle of the Steelers, is 83. Pause for recognition of 83. Jerry Jeudy of the Cleveland Browns, the wide receiver, is number 82. Trent McDuffie, the cornerback for Kansas City, is number 81. So Trent McDuffie ranked higher on this list than Creed Humphrey. So here's 80 to 71. You know what we have not heard yet?
A bear.
Rawr.
A bear of any kind. And I just want to point out, as this continues to be released, the higher you get on the list, the less likely it is there will be a bear because...
Bears.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is something where, Marshall, you and I kept watch. We kept watch over this NFL Top 100 list. We were trying to see with each time that they released a set of players and that number group, whether or not we were going to see a bear, because we thought it would be early. Rashawn Gary, the Green Bay Packers defensive end, is number 80. Dak Prescott, the Cowboys quarterback, is number 79. Khalil Mack is number 78 of the Chargers. Still got it.
So Khalil still got cachet, as it were.
Indeed. T. Higgins, the Bengals wideout, is number 77. Again, I think that is low. Vita Vea, the Buccaneers defensive tackle, is number 76. 16 games, 42 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 7 sacks, 13 quarterback hurries, 1 pass defensed. Patrick Queen, the Steelers linebacker, is 75. Bobby Wagner of the Washington Commanders, the linebacker, is number 74. Christian McCaffrey checks in at number 73.
And that's where we are.
So, yeah, because they have yet to release 72 and 71. I believe that's today and tomorrow.
So, let's just give some perspective here as we continue to talk about the NFL 100 and how many Bears do we expect to be on this offseason's edition of the NFL 100. Last offseason, there were two. Montez Sweat at 82. And then a guy who's not on the Bears or any other team currently. And that's Keenan Allen at 51. So Keenan Allen's, he can't be on.
Keenan Allen went from 51.
To off the list.
Named out of your top 20.
Well, you know what? Let me not get ahead of myself. Maybe he is on the list.
Maybe he is.
But he wouldn't be a Bear, so he wouldn't count as a Bear on the list. Maybe Montez Sweat is on the list. Although, we've gotten past his place, and he had a better season 2 years ago than he did last year.
Yeah,
so it's hard to believe that he would be on the list.
He has 10.5, and now he's down to 5.5.
No. I'm just saying it's possible, because the names have not been revealed. The guy who was doing all the complaining on Hard Knocks about not being on the list.
Jalen Johnson? I think he's your best chance for being on this list.
And do you like his chances to be a top 72 player on the list?
Perhaps.
Okay.
I feel like he could still be in that mix. I feel like anything probably under 50, and I'm not trying to say Jalen is the 50th worst or best. I just think based on the fact that he wasn't on it the last time, based on how you know the survey is conducted, that I think he's going to pop up on the list. He would be my best chance player. Especially with the Pro Bowl nod. I feel like those go hand in hand. So that would be my guy. Who's your Bear that you think has the best chance?
I mean, it's probably Jalen Johnson, but I don't have any confidence that he will be in the top 73. And again, I think it's a flawed construct to begin with because you're just voting for the top 20 guys, and that's how that works. But I just...
Even if it were top 25, you would have a more accurate sample.
Yeah. No, the more you list, the more accurate the sample.
But even if you just give them five more, you're up to a fourth. That I think that would give you a little bit better of an answer. Creed Humphrey is my best example. No way that dude's number 93 in the league.
Again, top of mind, depending on who you go up against every year and... I don't think the players themselves have the same thought process that we do.
If you're kicking it out to two Bears after mentioning Jalen Johnson, who's your number two?
Who do I think should be number two, or who do I think the players would say is the second best Bear on the roster?
I'll take both of them.
I think it's Kyler Gordon. And it could be TJ Edwards. I go back and forth between those two. Though it'd be... One of those two. Is there somebody else you have in mind?
TJ Edwards, and then despite the terrible offensive season, I still think DJ Moore because of just A, the year's total of production, and then B, still being a primary target.
DJ Moore had his best offensive season 2 years ago and still couldn't get on the list. Look, Keenan Allen got on there because of what he did, not as a Bear.
His reputation.
But as a Charger.
Yeah. His body of work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's how I know he's fallen off the list, because he played in a Bears uniform last year. Like, I know it sounds terrible to say.
But we didn't know where the ball was going, especially toward the end of the year during that 10-game losing streak.
All right, so here's a good suggestion from the text line, 847, and I got no problem with it. What about Joe Tooney?
Oh, good call.
That could be a guy.
Frankly, what about Drew Dahlman? But I don't think he's above Creed Humphrey, and they're both centers, so.
Yeah, it's a good question, right?
I'm not knocking Drew Dahlman. It's just, I think Creed Humphrey is that good. I was very happy about the Drew Dahlman signing. Let's just reestablish that.
When you look at the players who were at the top of the list last year, that's why if it was going to be Joe Tooney, I feel like his name would have already been called. Does that make sense?
It does, but
and so,
perhaps we're not valuing the acquisitions on the line in that respect.
Well, let's, you know, as we can do, let's reflect back on what happened last year as we look at this and try to figure out if we can make sense of something. Where did you say Laremy Tunsil was? This year,
Laremy Tunsil on this year's NFL Top 100 list, I believe he was 86.
So last year he was 71. That's why I asked.
That's a little more accurate, in my opinion, for Laremy. I clearly value offensive linemen. Laremy Tunsil this year was 86, correct.
Okay, so if I'm looking at, you know, Joe Tooney not being on the list last year, if I look at Drew Dahlman not being on the list last year, if we start with that, how are they going to get up in here, especially when you look... Let me tell you how many offensive linemen are on the list past, 73?
Is that you have the one sheet view? It's not like NFL.com. Where
from last year.
Yeah,
from last year.
Let me look at that.
So offensive tackle, Laremy Tunsil, I just said, was at 71. Mm-hmm. Offensive tackle, Teron Armstead from the Dolphins, was 67.
Dang.
Guard, Zach Martin was 53. That's the next offensive lineman. Zach Martin was number 53.
Okay.
And then if you keep going up, finding an offensive player takes a while. You go all the way to 41, Lane Johnson. That guy's going to the Hall of Fame.
One of the best in the game, right.
He's going to the Hall of Fame. And after him, going up 41 on, looking for an offensive lineman, Bueller, Penei Sewell at 22.
Man, Tua Tagovailoa went from 36 to now... where he was earlier on this list.
And then after Penei Sewell, you got to go all the way to 7 before you get to Trent Williams from the 49ers.
Man.
And after that, guess what? There are no more linemen. So there were only 3 linemen after that. The top 50.
That says a lot. And Tua went from 36 last year to number 91.
Yeah, it's tough. But to answer the question, Layla, I don't think any Bears are going to be on this list. And that's okay. Maybe it'll put a chip on everyone's shoulder and they'll all play a little bit harder. What I've learned is you're not going to get on this list without being a winner.
Take it personally.
All these are from winning teams. Well, most of them.
Yeah,
Myles Garrett is like an exception.
Yes, and he's the exception because he's Myles Garrett.
Also future Hall of Famer.
Indeed. That's Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Rahimi. We asked about doing a movie club, something I'd been wanting to do on the Midday Show for many years, and we finally decided to start it with Euro Trip. Did it age well from 2004? That laugh should tell you what you need to know. We're going to have some fun with this movie club next on Rahimi and Harris on the Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
Indeed, it is halftime here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We talked about what's going to take for the Cubs to not only win the playoffs, but the division, and also set up a really fun series coming up at Wrigley with the Cubs and the Red Sox starting tomorrow right here on 670 The Score. Matis Buzelli sat down with Chuck Swirsky at Summer League, and if you haven't heard it, it was really compelling discussion and also just some really honest moments from Matis about how he learned to deal with setbacks in the NBA and get better as a player. And then the Bears with some breaking news earlier today, as we heard on 670 The Score. Multiple reporters saying that the Bears have completed a contract for second-round pick defensive tackle Shamar Turner. And we talked about what that could mean For the other 2 second round picks, Luther Burden and Ozzie Trapillo, with Adam Hoge and Adam Johns of the Hoge and Johns podcast, which is now on CHGO. And we are also keeping a watchful eye over the NFL Top 100.
It's halftime.
We had discussed this for a while, wanting to do a movie club. As I said, I'd been wanting to do it for a few years. And we finally decided to watch the 2004 release of Euro Trip.
I don't even know how we came to that decision, but it was an interesting ride.
It was, and so we said, like, if you've watched it, you feel free to chime in along with us. And unfortunately, this movie not only didn't age well, I think only 10% of it is getting made in 2025.
10%?
That's not an indictment of 2025. That's an indictment of 2004.
Layla.
It felt like a bad sequel, except it was the original.
It was a different time.
And then I realized when I was watching it, I'm like, I thought I had watched this and I remembered the nude beach scene. There's spoilers. I'm sorry, because that's what happens in a movie club. I remember various scenes, but then I also remember that at the time I had two jobs and I was very tired most of the time. So I think I fell asleep watching it, which is maybe why I was like, oh, yeah, Euro Trip. Cool. Not cool. There were so many stereotypes. A lot of the plot was based on homophobia. Come on. Like, I'm glad that we've evolved past this, or at least are trying to evolve past this.
Okay. Question. What was your favorite part of the movie? Let's start with something positive.
Yes. I know. I feel bad that I had to get all of that off my chest. Did I watch the whole thing? Yes. Jeffrey Tambor's cameo was pretty great. But my favorite part was the beginning.
Okay, so that's the problem with this movie, if we're going to be critical of it, is that the best stuff happens at the very beginning. So the premise of this movie, you have this guy, Scott Thomas.
Oh, you know his last name.
Well, Scotty Thomas. Well, yeah, the cast. I looked up the casting up for it.
Scotty, yeah. The main character.
Yeah. So Scott, who's played by Scott McClovich. I don't know how to pronounce it. Scott McScottface. Oh yeah, Scott McScottface. We'll call him Scott McScottface for this.
Don't you love when, like, the main character's name is just his real name in real life? That's always a nice little nugget.
It throws me off so much.
So here's the thing. The movie sets up, it's the last day of high school, it's graduation. He's graduating, he gets out, he comes out and meets his girlfriend Fiona, played by Kristen Crook, who was at the height of her fame at that time. I think she was just coming off Smallville, where she played like a young Lana Lane. And Kristen Crook, she's out here doing Kristen Crook things, and you're like, okay, that's his girl. Immediately, he gets dumped by his girlfriend in a very sad, like, this is like the beginning of the movie. This is what the movie is about. This man got dumped by his girlfriend, who called him too predictable.
That was the worst. Like, that was such a lame reason to break up with somebody.
They're 18, Layla. What do you want?
She's also a year younger than him, for the record. And he was going to college, and his whole thing was, like, after the graduation, like, hey, I'm going to college next year, and then you're going to come to college, too. And it's going to be great. In 1 year, it'll be awesome. And then that was it.
Yeah, she's a keeper, huh?
Wow. Oh, my God. Fiona!
You could hear the heartbreak. Poor Scotty.
And then the cameo that you didn't expect or perhaps forgot.
Because later that night, there's, of course, a big festivity. You know, there's a party because these kids graduate. They have a big party at some kid guy's house. The scene at the party is like him walking past the kid's house. Is it duct taped to like a column? The kid is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that is. Or tied up in some
tied
form
up in
or fashion.
Some,
yeah.
Fashion. And there's this live band that's playing. And so the guy comes up on stage and starts singing this song, Scotty Doesn't Know. And you're like, Scotty, you don't even catch on at first, but you start listening to the lyrics. And then Kristen Crook's character runs up on stage, starts making out of it. And Scotty realizes, oh, this is the guy that's been cheating with.
Yeah, which is why I was mad at Fiona. And he dedicates it to her. He's like, the greatest little pistol, Fiona. Happy anniversary. And yes, Matt Damon makes this movie for me because he is hilarious. I looked it up. He's not the one singing.
No, no, he's not the one singing, but he's playing the part.
Also, is this not the most mid-2000s song?
But yeah, grunge Matt Damon.
Grunge Matt Damon.
Shaved head, everything.
With the jewelry.
Fingernails painted.
And I did appreciate the way that they kept the running joke. They had several running jokes throughout the entire movie. That was funny. Like, keeping up with the bit, like, you're in on the inside joke. And then you get to the remix of Scotty Doesn't Know in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, they're in Eastern Europe. They've been robbed of their passports, all their money. And they have, like, $1.87. And they're like, what are we going to do? And apparently $1.87 in
Bratislava.
That's the trope. That can buy you whatever. And they're treated like kings and queens.
Yeah, like I said, homophobia and a lot of stereotypes. At one point I wrote, this is why Europeans hate us. I did also love that the henchman from Snatch was in the movie, that he played the lead soccer hooligan.
Yes.
He is a great actor.
I want to just highlight the soccer hooligans for a minute, because this is something, like, I'm not a soccer person whatsoever. I never thought of this as a trope, or maybe it isn't. Maybe they just made this up specifically for this movie. But, like, the idea that they go to London and they walk into a soccer bar, and it's akin to, like, the stereotypical in the United States walking into the biker bar and you done messed up.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
When they're handing weapons to each other as they're trying to explain themselves? Like the crowbar?
This is a soccer bar and we're about to get our butts whooped? What?
And he's such a good actor. I forget what his name is. His character's name is Maynard in the
Mad
movie.
Maynard, Vinny Jones.
Yeah, Vinny Jones. He's hilarious. Like, he's really good at the contrast of his characters, where he can be the henchman, but then he can also have some fun. I like that at least he was in it. And again, they do a very good job of repeating the good themes throughout the show. Everybody texting in with the line, you made out with your sister, dude! Michelle Trachtenberg's character is in this. She plays the fraternal twin of one of their guy friends. And at one point, they're drinking absinthe because they have all this money to spend at the club in Bratislava. And as we know, absinthe is illegal here in the States. And that's when apparently people started getting hooped up on doof balls. And apparently at one point they kissed, and I was sufficiently grossed out. And
Jamie and Jenny.
Yeah, Jamie and Jenny were the characters.
And the guy with the long blonde hair who kept answering his work phone.
Cooper.
Yes. Cooper, by the way, who got his coworker fired for him not doing his job. I was like, yes.
While he was in Europe the entire time. And they thought he got fired at the end, but no, it was his coworker.
That was a good
thing. He's getting a promotion in his office.
And then he's trying to look it up in a book, the info about where they were to go next. And then he's like, let me just look this up. Hey, you made out with your sister. That was funny.
So if you had to give this, because we're running out of time here, elevator pitch of this movie is what for the plot? Like, how would you describe it to somebody?
Well, quickly. Somebody who tries to have a German pen pal but doesn't know German that well and has to be corrected by his little brother that the person that's been saying, hey, you want to meet up, is not a guy named Mike but a girl named Mika, and he's in a picture with not Jane but Jan. And that's how this mix-up happens, and now he has to go find her because she blocked him on the email. He's got to go see her in person, and he's not predictable. He's going to Europe, and it's a whole runaround about trying to find this girl. And he does find her at the end.
You're right about the robot fight was the best part.
The robot fight was amazing.
Like, if you want to put up with some really lame tropes but some funny moments, then Euro Trip might be for you. At least it's only 90 minutes.
It does.
Error.
Ultimately, this is a movie about high school kids for that demographic, and I was much younger when I watched this movie, and obviously it doesn't hit the same now, but on the scale of high school movies, I give it, you know, two thumbs up.
No.
For the high school kids?
No. I will quickly say that
I give it a thumb flat and a thumb slightly lower than flat.
I watched this for the first time. I was in the class of 2004 as these characters, and I found myself saying, I don't relate to anyone in this, and I wouldn't have back in the day either.
Here are some of my notes from the end. You made out with your sister. The terms are cringe. Pope Leo needs to forgive us for watching Euro Trip in 2025. Sex in the confessional booth, cringe. It feels like a bad sequel to a movie, except this is the original. Or is it? Like, somebody pointed out that this was the sequel to Road
Trip. No, they thought it was. It's not.
Yeah. Is it like a maybe it's a spinoff? I don't know.
I don't think it is.
But it has nothing to do with it other than, like, the love story aspect of it.
Yeah, which is also based on
every teen movie.
Somebody not knowing how to use email and homophobia.
It's a teenage movie back in the day.
The robot fight's funny. The hooligans are funny. The Scotty doesn't know running bit is hilarious. Matt Damon is really funny in the movie.
It's a catchy movie. Catchy tune. It's a really catchy tune.
Fiona!
Yeah.
Boo to Fiona. And the 90s eyebrows. Oh, man. Right, mine will never
recover. We'll choose something more recent for our next movie club.
We should.
Okay.
We should. But at least we got the exercise in and we got to do something that... At least I had a plan last night with what I was going to do and how. I didn't watch the ESPYs. I watched your trip.
Hey.
Think you're better for it.
Damn. Or are we, frankly?
Yeah, I saw some of the highlights of the ESPYs. Yes.
All right. Coming up next, it is 5 on it. We get back to sports. We have a lot of baseball questions. And then one for all of us. Because I don't know what to do. That's next here at Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
Mi scusi. Mi scusi.